news and bad news. So, the good news is the sermon's going to be short this morning. Bad news is it's because I'm a little sick. But that also means I'm going to ask you guys to do something a little bit different at the end of the sermon today. So, brace yourself for that. Alright, so I wanted to start by reading y'all a quote. It's by C.S. Lewis from his book, The Four Loves, I believe. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable.
You are going to read the scripture, right?
Yes, that's next. Thank you. See, this is what happens when Dan and Beth are gone and Mark's gone. Everything just goes crazy. No, just kidding. All right. So I wanted to read y'all that quote in light of today's passage. So I'm going to go ahead and read the passage. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 through 13. Now because we are fellow workers, we also urge you... Oh, I should read this one. Okay. All right. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. We faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. We serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. We are ignored, even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. Oh, dear Corinthian friends, we have spoken honestly with you, and our hearts are open to you. There is no lack of love on our part, but you have withheld your love from us. I am asking you to respond as if you were my own children. Open your hearts to us. I want to go ahead and leave that passage up, that part. So that, specifically these three verses I wanted to talk about this morning. But everything Paul says prior to these verses kind of leads up to this point when Paul is going on his you know, litany of this is what I've been through. He's saying I've been beaten, I've been ignored, I've been hurt, and yet I keep giving, I keep giving, I keep giving. And it just what Paul is saying is I have proven myself trustworthy. I have shown you that I'm a trustworthy person. I have shown you that I love you with my actions over an extended period of time. And now I'm reaching out to you, opening my heart to you, and I'm asking for your love. I'm asking for you to reciprocate and love me back. I want to talk about love this morning, and I want to talk about our hearts. The quote that I read to you this morning, C.S. Lewis is talking about our hearts, and he's talking about the decision to love or not to love. In Proverbs, it says, above all else, guard your hearts, for from it flow the springs of life, right? And so when you think about guarding something, think about something in your life that you guard. How do you guard it? Well, if it's extremely valuable, you put it in a safe. You lock it up. Maybe you have one of those nifty little safes that you hide behind, like a painting or something, and you have a little combination lock or a fingerprint thing. I bet Collins is a really cool one.
Sorry.
Yeah, we do!
Yeah, I bet there's all kinds of ammo in there. Alright, I didn't ask. You think about something that you're trying to protect. Often what we do when we want to protect something and guard it is that we lock it away and we keep it from being hurt, right? Everything revolves around keeping that valuable thing safe from the outside world. And so when we think about guarding our hearts, it might be our inclination to think that that's what we should do with our hearts. But the way C.S. Lewis describes our hearts are less like a diamond that need to be protected and put a little safe or a vault around. And our hearts are more like, and this is going to be corny, but our hearts are more like a child. Or for you animal lovers out there, our hearts are more like a dog. At least my heart is. If you lock up a child, or if you lock up a dog, and you don't let them be around anything that could possibly hurt them or get them dirty, it's horrible for them. It's bad for them. When you have a child, you love them so much, and of course you want to protect them, but because you know that being around other people and taking risks and getting hurt and being active are so important to their well-being, that because you love them, you're willing to suffer the anxiety of putting them out there in the world because you know that's what's best for them, and that if they don't have it, they're going to die. At least a big part of them will. It's like a muscle. I've heard, as I'm sadly getting older, I've been told that if I stop doing like push-ups or if I stop doing certain exercises, if I just think, oh, I'll get to it in my 50s or 60s, if I wait that long, I've heard people like these horror stories of you just stop doing push-ups and then you start after like a really long time, that your muscles can like peel off your bones. Has anybody else heard that? Is that true? I don't know. Anyway, it could be totally neither here nor there. But the point is, our hearts are meant to be used. Our hearts are meant to be active, like a muscle. That they're meant to be reaching out to be healthy. And yes, getting hurt and healing to be healthy. And yet again, our inclination sometimes when we want to protect something is to put a wall around it and don't let anybody near it. And that's what Paul is talking about here to some extent when he's talking with the Corinthians. And he's saying, you know, Paul's being the example. Sometimes it seems like Paul is just talking about himself way too much. But I believe that everything Paul says in his letters is meant for the welfare of the people who he's writing to. It's meant for his church. And so when he's talking about all these things he's done for them, he's saying, look, I'm trustworthy. I've shown you that I love you. I've shown you that I care about you. I'm reaching out to you. I'm opening up to you. I need you to respond in kind. I need you to love me back. Paul is making himself very vulnerable here. He says, we've spoken honestly with you. Our hearts are open to you. And there is no lack of love on our part. We talk a lot about, at City's Edge, we talk a lot about transparency. Right? We talk a lot about sharing our stories and being open and honest about our stories. And I think that that's a wonderful first step to being close to somebody. I think it's a wonderful first step. But I think there's a difference between transparency and vulnerability. I know this seems like maybe splitting hairs, but you know, think about something that's transparent, like your sliding glass door. You know, you have a sliding glass door, and people can see through it, but that doesn't mean they can touch you, because there's a door in the way. And so when I hear Paul talking about, not only has he spoken honestly with them, but he's opened his heart to them, and he's reached out and tried to love them, Paul has made himself vulnerable. And so I want to talk about getting a little bit ahead of myself here. I want to talk about three things that I think are, of course, every sermon has to have three main points. You guys know that, right? I want to talk about three things that I see Paul doing here to invest in his friendship with other Christians. And I want to say that if we don't have these three things or whatever in our Christian friendships, then we're not going to be growing. And we're not going to be vulnerable. And we're not going to be loving one another. I was thinking about, you know, this passage doesn't get a lot of press when you think about sermons you've listened to. You may not have ever heard a sermon preached on it, at least I haven't. And what is so cool about this passage is that Paul is basically saying, I want to be your friend, will you be mine too? Like, when's the last time you said that to somebody? I want to be your friend, will you be my friend? I mean, a lot of times that's what we're thinking and feeling, but do we ever say it? I mean, I know I do, but I'm a little weird. I was thinking that Jesus says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. Jesus doesn't command us to get married. He doesn't command us to have children. He doesn't command us to be in the bowling league. But he does command us to love one another. He does command us to love other fellow Christians and be in close relationship with them. So I guess I want to talk about three things that I think are vital to obeying that command. And the first one that I already hit on is trust. Trust is not so much knowing for sure that somebody is not going to hurt you. Trust is putting yourself in a position where you can be hurt. Trust is depending on somebody to be there for you, knowing that there's a possibility that they're going to hurt you. And so I was talking a little bit earlier about the difference between transparency and vulnerability. What I've noticed is that you can share, this is just me, I can share my life story with somebody, and I don't really feel horribly vulnerable at that point. When I feel vulnerable is when I'm talking about my day. When I'm talking about what's going on in my life, one-on-one with somebody or in a small group, and I'm asking them what they think, and I'm asking them to care. So I think there's a difference between, I don't know, I'm sort of struggling to articulate what I want to say. So I think I might skip it. I guess what I'm saying is that it's easy for me to share my life story with somebody, but it's harder for me to say, and this is what I'm doing right now. What do you think about that? And allowing somebody to speak into my life in a way that might offend me or upset me, hurt my feelings, or damage my pride. And you can see that Paul is like putting himself out there and opening himself up to that kind of interaction. The next thing that I am thinking when I read this passage is, in order for Paul to have this kind of relationship with these people, he's putting a tremendous amount of time into the relationship. He's obviously spent a lot of time with these people. And I think that in our current culture, we tend to be very busy, and we have less time for each other. And I was thinking about that verse, you know, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. I think the same thing is true for our relationships with other Christians. I think that if all we have time to do, or if all we make time to do, is come to church on Sunday and say some awkward hellos and goodbyes, and then get out the door as fast as we possibly can, which, by the way, I totally get it. okay? I totally get it. But if that's all we make time for, our relationships with other Christians are going to be very shallow and unsatisfying. And very awkward. Very awkward. And I know especially if you have a lot of things in your schedule that make it hard for you to invest in spending time with other believers, I don't want to be legalistic and try to say, well, if this is all you're doing, you stink. You know, I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying that the more time you put into your friendships with other Christians, the more you're going to get out of them, and the more that you're going to be obeying Jesus' command, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Well, you can't really love somebody if you're not spending time with them. Along those same lines, so by the way, I tried to look up like an acronym, and all I came up with was TTF, trust, time, and focus. So apparently all that there really is on the internet for trust, for TTF, is TrueType font. So, I mean, there's other stuff, but it's not worth looking at. There was the Urban Dictionary, but anyway. So TTF for today, trust, time, and then focus. These are Brooks's essential ingredients for Christian friendship. You know, get it while it's hot. I wanted to talk about the next aspect, is focus. Not only do we need to trust each other enough to be close to one another, but we also have to spend time with one another, but there also has to be focus to our time together. The focus needs to be on what our mission all should be, which is becoming more like Jesus. In Acts 2:42, it says that they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. I am not saying that the time that we spend together just hanging out and having fun and eating is not good. It's wonderful. It's essential. But I think that if we don't have set aside time to meet with other Christians for the purpose of becoming more like Jesus, and for the purpose of challenging each other to become more like Jesus, we're probably not going to be growing very much. If you don't have any other Christian in your life who you meet with on a regular basis, in which you specifically decide to challenge each other and how you're living your lives, I'm going to go out on a limb and say perhaps you're not growing very much. If you don't have a friend who feels confident and their permission to challenge you in how you're living, your friendships are probably not very deep and you're probably not growing very much. And to the extent that the people around you feel open to saying, hey, what about this? Or hey, what about that? That's the extent to which you're going to grow. I think that's what I was getting at earlier as far as, you know, it's one thing to share your story, because when you share your life story full of hardships, people are going to pat you on the back and hug you and say, it's cool, man or woman. You know, I love you. I understand. That guy or girl was evil. I'm so sorry that happened to you. You know, it can be, in most cases, a safe thing to do, right? You feel confident you're going to get some affirmation. It's a lot harder to say, these are the decisions that I made this week. What do you think? And have somebody who has the permission in your life to say, no, you're stupid, and this is why. Well, maybe not those words, but you get it, right? I think we need time to do things. We need to make time to do things like that if we want to grow, if we want to be close to each other, if we want to have the kind of relationships that I sense Paul is asking from the Corinthians. That's the kind of intimacy he wants. So that's all I had this morning, but we do have time for a little awkward. And if you've been at this church for any length of time, most of you have been here much longer than me, then you know this church loves to be awkward. Some of you, yeah. Some of the people in the crowd are like, oh no, this is gonna be bad. So what I want to do is I want you, many of us are in little groups of two or three. So what I want you to do is if you're a group of two or three, I want you to go to a table of another group of two or three and join that little group, okay? So, for instance, you guys can move over there or whatever, but go ahead, everybody, if you don't mind, do some gymnastics and join another family.